Welcome to St James, a Scottish Episcopal Church in Leith. This podcast is an edited recording of our Sunday morning service from April 21st, 2024. I'm a bit behind at the moment, so this is the service from 2 weeks ago. The one for last Sunday will be along shortly. For news and information and to find out how to join us, please visit stjamesleith.org.uk.
Good morning, everybody, and good morning to everyone at home. Welcome to our fourth Sunday of Easter on the theme of the Good Manly Shepherd ? So we look forward to hearing what Sally has to say about our readings today in the reflection. Also, welcome to everybody at home. So in the usual fashion, we'll start our service with the singing bowl, have a moment's quiet to compose ourselves to worship God. We'll light a candle in church and invite everybody at home also to invite a candle as a symbol of them joining us in our worship. With nature in its power and beauty, with rain and wind and sunshine, with the ancient rocks and the budding flower, we gather in praise of God. With believers and seekers the whole world wide, with people in every land and speakers of every language, we gather in praise of God. With the angels and saints in heaven, and with all who have worshipped in this place, we gather in praise of God. With Jesus, who promised his presence, and the Spirit who showers her blessings, we gather in praise of God. So here let heaven and earth embrace. Here may God's people find home. Amen. So please stand for our first song. When I don't know where to go, you guide me.
Where I don't know what to do. Our first reading today is from the book of Acts, chapter 4. The next day, their rulers, elders, and scribes assembled in Jerusalem with Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and all who were of the high priestly family. When they had made the prisoners stand in their midst, they inquired, "By what power and by what name do you do this?" And then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are questioned today because of a good deed done to someone who was sick, and are asked how this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that this man is standing before you in good health by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, by the builders. It has become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among mortals by which we must be saved." Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thanks be to God.
Gospel today is from the book of John, chapter 10, starting at verse 11. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father." This is the gospel, good news for all. Praise to you, O Christ.
"I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice." I wonder if you've ever had any times in your life when you've been aware of hearing Jesus' voice or God's voice. I can't think of many occasions in my own life but I'm going to, maybe three, and I'm going to share two of them in case they're helpful or interesting. The first one was by the Scott Monument on Princes Street. I was sitting with a young man. He looked about 19, but he was actually about 30, and a pushchair. And what had happened was there was a group of friends, and two of the friends had a baby, and they wanted to go up the Scott Monument, but the baby had fallen asleep in the pram. So me and this other young man sat with the pram while our friends went up the Scott Monument. Now, at the time, I was in some sort of tragic, unrequited love scenario with a Gaelic folk musician, and he was engaged to be married to a very sensible, practical, efficient woman who I think was very good at laundry and keeping on top of things. Very, very efficient woman. Anyway, I sat down with this gentleman and this pushchair, and a voice, an absolutely clear voice, said, "This will be you two one day." And I thought, what a strange, strange thing. Like, why would that ever happen? And about 2 years later, we were married. And about 3 years later, we were sitting with a pram. And 4 years later, we were sitting with a pram with two babies in, because, you know, Catholicism. So that's my first instance. The second one is a strange thing and a very, very sad thing. When my niece was 3 years old, she was diagnosed with a brain tumour. It was absolutely horrific. I remember thinking, none of us can ever be happy again. Nothing good can ever happen to any of us again. And the horribleness of it, the awful medical treatment. She lost her ability to speak and to walk, and all the treatment was horrible and wasn't even likely to work. And I remember not being able to sleep, not being able to get through anything. And one night when I couldn't sleep, again I heard a voice say something, and the voice said, "It isn't happening to you," which seems really strange, but I was torturing myself, imagining what it would feel like if it was my own child, imagining what it would feel like to be in this situation, to the point where I couldn't do anything helpful, I couldn't support my sister, I was struggling to look after my own babies. And that's something that stayed with me that's helped me in all kinds of situations, that because I do feel things very strongly, but sometimes they're not happening to me. And in order to be able to get through them and to survive, that's what I need to know and that's what I need to remember. So they're my two stories. And maybe you'd like to think about, if you've had any examples like that in your life, and we're going to come back to it later, because this next bit we're going to look at Jesus' masculinity as the Good Shepherd. Because a while ago, Frank sent me a WhatsApp message, and I said, I can't look at this now, Frank, because I'm writing an essay about gender bending in John's Gospel. And I thought, I wonder if the good people at St. James would like to hear about this. And I've taken a gamble that maybe you would, so we're going to think about that. And there's a couple of caveats here. Firstly, in case you think I've got some sort of hidden agenda here to dismantle the patriarchy, I'd like to say that it's not hidden. It's just an agenda. Secondly, when we talk about masculinity and patriarchy, or where I'm talking about it, I'm not talking about men and women. We're talking about a system and a structure and the types of ideas that we're all to some degree bound up with, and they may or may not be helpful. Some of them might not be helpful, and it might be good to free away from them. To move towards, you know, we hear in scriptures the time when it's woman or man no more, you know, to move to what somebody called recently gender anti-apartheid. So moving away from these divisions and these systems and these structures a bit. And the reason it's relevant to today's readings, because to be a shepherd, as Jesus is in our reading, was actually, in those days, in his time, to be a bit wet, to be a bit girly. It was an effeminate thing. And in Jesus' time, manliness was everything. It may not have been to Jesus, but to the people around him, or more importantly, to the people writing the Gospels and then reading the Gospels, it really was a big deal. So it was going to be very difficult to sort of sell a non-manly Jesus. Manliness was everything because women weren't just a sort of bargain basement version of men. They were faulty. They were a totally faulty, unformed version of men. And everything was in structures where you could move upwards or downwards in a hierarchy. And the way you did this was by doing stuff. It was really important to do stuff. And so you could produce children. You could produce children, but not be you didn't want to be sort of attracted to women. You didn't want to be lusty because that showed weakness. So that's why we have, in John's Gospel, we possibly have lots of instances of Jesus talking to women but not being particularly affected by them. You'd to be in the city. It was manly to be in the city. Countryside was non-manly. But most importantly, you would overcome things. So you would triumph over things. The masculine identity is only formed by what it has power over. So looking at this, Jesus as shepherd seems a bit like bad news. You know, a shepherd isn't manly. And more importantly, he's doing something caring, he's feeding and nurturing, and also he's laying down his life. He is being allowing himself to be vulnerable and being passive. And Jesus does other worryingly feminine things too in John's Gospel. He feeds, and he feeds of his own body. He gives of his own body to feed. He talks about people being born and reborn, born in him. And also he's linked with the feminine ideas of wisdom. When we hear about Jesus' word, he is there at the beginning of creation, like the feminine wisdom, Sophia, or the feminine spirit that's there at the beginning of creation and also feeds us from our own body. But it's okay. It's okay, we don't need to worry about Jesus' femininity because actually he always goes one better. So he feeds from his own body, but it's better than the food that women give because you don't get hungry again. And to be born again is one better because that's better than the original birth from women's bodies. And so on. So we see this improvement on and this doing stuff and this being better. And when he takes on the role of shepherd willingly and he chooses and he explicitly says, I choose to lay down my life, the most manly thing you can do is accept your role and accept what you're supposed to do. So he's actually, in terms of the gospel writer, he is doing exactly what he's supposed to do. And of course, he's creating divisions. He's saying, not everyone is my own, and I know my own. And also, he's doing this all for his Father. You know, this is all. So we could argue that he's staying completely within the manly system, and everything's okay, and we don't need to worry about anything, and the patriarchy is intact. But there's a bit of a problem, because later on, as Jesus says goodbye to his friends and towards the end of John's Gospel, you'll remember there's an instance where he helps them catch the big load of heavy fish, and all the young men, because they're big and strong and manly, they all heave this fish into the boat. And then Jesus has a conversation with Simon Peter, which is very, very kind of emotional and over the top, where he says, do you love me? And all this kind of thing. And then he says to Simon, if I can find my page, he says this: very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. And then he said to him, "Follow me." And so you'll remember in this passage too, this is the continuation of the shepherd story, because Jesus is asking Peter to feed his lambs and feed his sheep. But he's also telling him, you're not going to be in control. You're not going to be able to be powerful. Someone's going to make you do things that you don't want to do. You're going to be weak and vulnerable and old, and you will have to lay it down. There's going to be no choosing to do so. And I think Jesus is speaking to all of us, because to follow him does involve this kind of laying down. It might in different kinds of ways. Or maybe it will be not required of us, but to be alongside other people who are doing it. And this language, the language that's used of this being dressed, is the same language that is used when Jesus takes off his clothes and puts something around his waist to wash his disciples' feet. You know, the root of those bits of language are the same. So it carries on this message of Jesus is asking us to serve, to be humiliated, actually, to be graded, to undo this system of doing stuff to be better than, being in control. And I think for me, that's what the cross is. The cross is this saying, you know, this ends here, this system ends here. We're not doing it like this anymore. And so I wonder what this means for the idea of voices, the idea of the voices we're asked to hear, the idea of the voices that I might have heard. I can see in my own life that those instances of feeling spoken to were to do with not being in control, understanding, as we're going to sing in a lovely hymn today, that idea of the God who guides the future as he has the past. You know, we're not fighting things out. We're not trying to be on top of things. We're not trying to get the world our way, and we're not responsible for that. But I also wonder about the kinds of voices we're all called to listen to. In our first reading today, we saw people facing all the important men, all the bigwigs, all the structure and the systems that dominate, and saying, no, we see Jesus' presence in this experience of healing. We see the power here. The power is not where you say it is. So I wonder who we're called to listen to as a community. Those of us who have been meeting with Zara, who works with the sex workers, have heard stories about, we heard about a woman who was working for a long time, for 20-something years, and the longer she worked, the less she could charge, because her value was going down. And I wonder if those of us who've been, well, not me, but those people who've been successful in their careers could imagine that idea of the longer you do something, the less you're worth, the less valuable you are. We also hear about people who have to rent spaces in saunas in Edinburgh, and they have to pay to rent the space, and then they have to pay half of what they earn back to the man who owns the space. You know, we're surrounded by people in structures of power. And The final lamb and shepherd image we have of Jesus is we're called to behold the lamb. We're called to, and the lamb is a defiled and humiliated and faulty thing. And so when we listen to voices, or where we try to listen to Jesus' voice, I think we should always be listening to those defiled voices and humiliated voices, and looking beyond the sort of obvious power structures. Thank you.
So thank you, Sally. Let's just have a moment to reflect on what Sally said. So we now come to our intercessions. I'm not sure we've got an intercessor today, and I thought, I watched the news this morning, And the world, it's such a complicated place that for me to stand here and ad-lib prayers, I'm sure I wouldn't do justice. So we're going to basically pray for the world to start with and have a minute's silence for you to pray what's on your heart. There's an awful lot going on. And then the music group will sing, Lord, Hear Our Prayer, as part of the prayers. Then, if we have a moment, and I'll lead it, is to pray for our church worldwide and also here in our diocese. And then we'll sing, Lord, Hear Our Prayer. And then finally, pray for friends, family, people that we know that are in need of prayer. And then we'll have, Lord, Hear Our Prayer. And then we'll end with the Lord's Prayer. So let's just have, as I said, a moment's silence to each one of us to pray for our world, what's on our hearts. Now, let us pray for our church, that are really Jesus' hands and feet on earth. Pray for the church worldwide and in our own diocese, and also all those structures and places of influence that have power to change our world. So let us pray. Let us pray for family, friends, or anyone that we know personally who is in need. Praise and thanksgiving be to you, God of all. For by the cross, eternal life is ours, and death is swallowed up in victory. In the first light of Easter, glory broke from the tomb and changed the women's sorrow into joy. And from the garden, the mystery dawned that he whom they had loved and lost is with us now in every place forever. Making himself known in the breaking of the bread, speaking peace to the fearful disciples, welcoming weary fishermen on the shore, he renewed the promise of his presence and of new birth in the Spirit. At supper with the disciples, he took bread and offered you thanks. He broke the bread and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body. It is broken for you." After supper with his disciples, he took the cup, he offered you thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant. It is poured out for you and for all, that sins may be forgiven. Do this in remembrance of me." and the blessing of God the Creator, Christ our risen Saviour, and the Spirit of life and love be with us all now and forever. Amen. I think Suzanne's going to hand out some instruments.